then here's what's going to happen. You're going to drink your PIMS cup.
Which is exciting. Never had one.
Mm-hmm. Then I'm going to knock you out, and you're going to wake up in a mental hospital with total amnesia under someone else's name.
Hey, now that's an idea for a movie.
Yeah, I think it already was.
I wasn't in it.
Well, maybe not.
Fade in. A mental ward. White walls, white sheets, nurses in crisp white uniforms. Broken men shuffle like zombies. We see a hospital wristband on a man's arm, John Doe. And we slowly tilt up to see a man's face, Gator McCluskey. And he's looking out the window, the afternoon sun on his face. And there's a spark of recognition in his eyes, because you know what he's looking at?
No.
The Okefenokee Swamp.
There's a mental hospital there?
Right on the water. And guess what's tied up right out there at the dock?
An airboat! And the head nurse falls in love with him and finds out who he really is, so she helps him escape and they get chased by a bunch of dirty cops, but in the end, they win!
And you just got a screenplay credit.
Bomb is raised in the swamp. And back of Smooth. He grew up eating rattlesnake meat, drinking homemade brew. The folks hereabout call him Gator, and everybody knows him well. Meanest man ever hit the swamp. Folks swear he comes straight out of here.
So, hi, and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew, guys.
This is Damien.
And for the last time,
This is Douglas. This is deja vu.
Are you leaving us, Douglas? Are you leaving us?
Yes, he's a grown-ass man now. He doesn't have to do this shit.
You turned old last week,
yeah.
Douglas.
Yes, I did.
How does it feel?
It feels old.
He's not he's not adhering to the principles of being a grown-ass man, though. He's still wearing T-shirts with funny shit written on it. Douglas, you don't have to do that anymore. You also don't have to pay attention to popular music or movies or popular anything because
I don't think
you're a grown-ass
but
man.
But hold on. You have to realize neither you nor I pay attention to popular music or movies.
But Douglas, that is because
we haven't done it in a long
always
time.
Always in preparation for what you've now become. Andrew is the one that still tries to pretend that he's a youngster. And he has 3 more years. And then he's boned. But Douglas,
I don't know what you're talking about.
Douglas,
I don't get old.
No more. Your days of wearing funny t-shirts are officially at an end. Burn all of them.
No, they need to be like stupid funny t-shirts, like I'm the dad kind of shirts,
which aren't
funny to anyone. They're just
No. Actually, Andrew has a point, but he didn't make it correctly. Andrew, first I have to have a child,
right?
Then the only reason I can be wearing those t-shirts that are, you know, not buttoned down or whatever is when either I am in the house and she has her friends in the house, or I'm going to pick her up from a party, and then I am allowed to wear the most ridiculous shit.
Anything you want.
So you're only having daughters?
Well, yeah, why not?
Okay. But anyways, we came here to actually talk about the film.
That is a lie.
Totally a lie. This week, Douglas, well, actually last week, but we're talking about it this week. Douglas wanted us to talk about the 1970s classic, Deliverance.
These are the men. Nothing very unusual about them. Suburban guys like you or your neighbor. Nothing very unusual about them until they decided to spend one weekend canoeing down the Cahoolawassee River. Ed Gentry, he runs an art service. Wife Martha has a boy, Dean. Lewis Medlock has real estate interests, talks about resettling in New Zealand or Uruguay. Drew Ballinger, he's sales supervisor for a soft drink company. Bobby Tripp, bachelor, insurance and mutual funds.
Where you going?
All right, I'm looking.
These are the men who decided not to play golf that weekend. Instead, they sought the river.
So, Douglas, why don't you tell the people who probably, for the two people listening, who don't know what Deliverance is about.
Okay.
Danger Zone.
How tempted am I to put Archer clips at the beginning of this episode? So
I would actually, honestly, Andrew, I'd be disappointed if you didn't.
Exactly.
So,
Deliverance.
That's what we're,
yep.
Codename Danger Zone is a movie that introduces us to Burt Reynolds and his ridiculous swimmer kayaker jacket. It is about
John Voight.
Yes, a young John Voight. You've never seen young John Voight before?
I have, because I saw this movie already, but every time I see him, I try to...
But this is the only young Voight movie you've
seen? No. I've seen him in other... But every time I see the young version of him, because I grew up knowing
the
older, evil John
Voight. Of course, yeah. I think we all did.
And then when you see him, you go, And you see how it goes from there to there? But it's still hard.
I still have trouble having seen this film and remembering he was in Anaconda.
He's in worse things than Anaconda.
Yes.
Anaconda is a timeless classic compared to some of the other shit that I've seen him in.
Yep. So, yeah. Well, okay, listen. I was going to do some funny intro, but forget that. This movie is a movie about some... Well, I don't want to call them friends, but... A group of people. Well, some of them are friends, some of them don't really know each other. And they are going on a canoe trip down a river that essentially is not going to be there in the next couple of months. Apparently, the town is going to essentially be evacuated and the whole surrounding area is going to be flooded so that they can have a new hydroelectric plant.
They're building a dam.
Yeah. And so the movie really is about their canoe trip and the fact that they get, I guess you could call, ambushed in the middle of it, and people die and things don't turn out very well, and then there's a bit of a cover up after that. So that's really what this movie is about, and I just want to start by saying this movie is awesome. This movie is way better than I thought it was going to be. I already knew I think I'd like it, but can I tell you, this movie, when I watched it, was not the movie that I saw in my head when I... Because I've been hearing about this for a long time, or not hearing about. I've been saying to myself, I need to watch this movie. And actually, I always put this movie and Deer Hunter kind of together in the same category of I should really watch these movies. And so, you know, when we watched it, or when I talked about watching Deer Hunter, and so it's from even before then that I've been thinking I need to watch Deliverance. So this is a really long time for me, or a long time coming for me. When I saw, or from the information that I had gathered about the movie before I watched it, and you know who I am, I don't really pay attention, or I don't really want to know too much about a movie before I get into it. So while I might, you know, see a trailer, which I actually didn't for this movie, or might just, you know, see a poster and hear general things, I don't actively go out for information. So I knew about the piggy scene. I knew generally that they go into essentially the wilderness and shit goes crazy. So in my mind, this movie was not what it actually is. This movie is supposed to be a movie about a couple of them, or maybe even all of them, getting captured and abused and trying to find their way out, trying to escape. Whether it is that they all are captured and try to escape, or some are captured and maybe there's some sort of rescue mission going on. But that was not the case in this film. And I am actually really surprised at how well they did what they did in this movie, because it's very much it's almost like a glancing moment. It lasts for about 5 minutes. So they sail down the river. They stop and see somebody, and this guy holds them up at gunpoint and, you know, actually abuses them. But in about 5 minutes, everything is done, and they have to make a decision because, you know, some shady things, some very, very gray area things have occurred. You know, that somebody ends up dead, and they're like, whoa, guys, what are we going to do? Can we... You know, were we in the right on this? Were we in the wrong? Can we go down to to and face court or not, or, you know. And so really this movie is, it's really about hope and, or well, not really hope, but innocence and the how quickly and easily it can be lost, and the sort of repercussions that can happen, or how quickly and severely things can go sideways, without really you needing to help yourself going in that direction. And then now it, after that, it's about living essentially with whatever has happened and making some tough decisions. And the way they approach it is great. I mean, the acting is fantastic, especially from Ned Beatty, who is the piggy. so him, I think even better, you know, John Voight is kind of a legend, and rightfully so. He's a great actor, but for me, Ned Beatty shines in this one, even above him. Burt Reynolds
is Burt
people
Reynolds.
Like him, Burt Reynolds but is Burt exactly, Reynolds. Burt Reynolds is Burt Reynolds.
You've already solidified your opinion on Burt Reynolds a long time ago.
Danger Zone. but this film, it does these things so well. I mean, it does suffer a little bit from, you know, old movie-itis here and there, but definitely not as badly as The Deer Hunter, where there were gaping... Hold on. You know that there were gaping holes. You could make the jump. But there were no gaping holes here, right? There were no gaping holes in story. Not story, rather, in storytelling. the acting is fantastic. The direction, you know, is pretty great. The flow of the story is fantastic. I mean, you're almost on the edge of your seat the whole way through. Even for the first, I would say, 30 to 45 minutes before Piggy, which is very slow. Even at that point, you know, it's... You find you kind of feel like this is a great little movie about these people kind of bonding, and you have this dueling guitar and banjo scene, which, while served absolutely no purpose, was fantastic. And there are a lot of things like that. I think all in all, this is one of those movies that deserves the praise that it gets and really should be watched by all. Damon.
All right. So, a little background information about me and this movie. I saw this movie at a preposterously young age. No child should ever. I saw this movie set 10, 11. I saw it early enough so that I know that I saw the movie. And it left an imprint on me really early on. But here's the... when Douglas said he's going to watch this movie, here are the things that I remembered, I thought I remembered about the movie. Clearly Burt Reynolds.
Oh, of course. Right?
Of course, the piggy scene. And then for some strange reason, I had it in my head that there was a lot of action in this movie. I remember I remember John Voight climbing a cliff. I remember bows and arrows.
That
and
scene, by the way, was fantastically horrible. Yeah. I love how it was clear they were filming in the day and they tried hard to make it look like it was in the night. That was great.
To color the film.
Yeah.
But I remembered it being kind of an action movie, which this movie is not an action movie. But that is what my young mind remembered. Then watching this movie again, like, it all came back. Like, as I was watching it, I'm like, oh yeah, these are all the things that happened. I'm like, why did I remember this being some kind of a action type movie? And like Douglas said it, this movie is pretty fantastic. I won't bother going over all the things that Douglas said. The thing I'd like to point out, that I was kind of most impressed by, was how they treated music throughout the movie. at the start they had the dueling banjo scene. And it is the banjo song that everybody knows well. It is this song.
Yeah. Yeah, and when then, I heard it, I was like, oh, this is where this comes from? Like,
I'm not sure if that's where it comes from. Well, that, it is the only song. Every song about country bumpkins and banjos. This is, it is the song that is playing in your head. As I say, please stop it. Never do that again. But then, that theme...
You're supposed to duel with me.
Go away.
You're supposed to.
In fact, that song was played several times. It was a running theme throughout the song. And I liked where, when the movie was getting more and more menacing and sinking further and further into the grey area, the cadence of that song slowed way, way down. So you could, like, see them hitting the string, like, one at a time. And, like, this... Like, that is for a movie that came out in the 70s. For someone to have sat down and thought about the music that extensively in order to get that right. Because I don't think, you know, changing the music would have been detrimental to the film. But having that music definitely made it better. There is also... there's something that happens... after the pig scene, something even more terrible than the pig scene happens, and at the end of the movie, they have to come to terms with the thing, and they have to kind of explain it away, and at the end of the movie, watching that scene, I went, oh, that's right. No, I remember when I saw the ending of the movie, I remember. Right. I remember where I watched the movie. I remember with whom I watched the movie. I remember why it is I love Burt Reynolds. This is one of the movies that definitely helped. And at the end of the movie, I remember I saw this movie, sat down on a couch on my uncle's lap, and we sat there watching this movie. And I remember... at the end of the movie, kind of my uncle explaining what happened. Because, of course, I didn't really understand. Like, that is why I love this movie. Because it is... like, I didn't remember any of this until the movie ended. I'm like, oh, shit. This is why everyone loves Burt Reynolds. Because he was this type of person in all his movies throughout the 70s through to the 80s. It was only when we started growing up that Burt Reynolds faded into obscurity.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, which Burt Reynolds I know? I know Burt Reynolds from Evening Shade. Have you ever watched that show? That's the Burt Reynolds that I know. So when I watch this now and things like Smokey and the Bandit, which actually, granted, I did watch when I was young. So I guess that kind of colored my Burt Reynolds view as well. But, you know, when you watch this and those kind of movies, you're like, wow, Burt Reynolds was like, you know, this big action star or big, you know, hot guy that people loved off, you know, and you're just like, hmm. But can I tell you, it's interesting. You've got four actors in this movie, four main actors. You have Burt Reynolds, John Voight, Ned Beatty, all three of them fairly large actors in their own right. And then you have the fourth. Ronnie Cox is his name, and I remember through the whole movie I'm watching and saying, I know this guy from somewhere, I know this guy from somewhere. So at the end I bring up his IMDb page, and sadly I'm pretty sure that the reason that I thought I knew him was because I've seen him in Beverly Hills Cop. He is the cop in LA that you know, kind of mentors Axel Foley.
so you didn't remember him from Total Recall?
I've never watched Total Recall, at least not in its totality.
I haven't seen both of the recalls in their totality. I do not advise anyone to watch either one of them. But this movie is pretty fantastic. They found the world's creepiest kid to be a banjo player, and that was pretty impressive. And I liked I like the fact that they, at the very end of the movie, they cut to a scene and you see John Voight with his family. And you go, okay, so. Because at the start of the movie, it's just four guys being jerks to one another, going on this canoe trip. And crazy shit happens. Then they're changed forever by the end of the movie. And then they just give you one shot. They're like, but you have to go home. Like, you have to see him home with his family. Like, that is a fantastic touch. Because nowadays, they would have just had it end. They're going, all right, you guys survived. And you just see, like, a helicopter fly over in the movie and then roll credits.
But you know what was even better, I thought? Right before that, both Ned Beatty and John Voight were together for essentially the last time in the movie. And Ned Beatty said, you know, I could take the car up. And they're, like, arguing. And he's like, no, 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 don't worry. And then the last thing Ned Beatty says is, you know, I don't think you're going to see me for a little while. And I just love the way, the fact that they had him say something like that, when essentially, you know, in my mind at least, that is essentially the equivalent of just don't ever call me again. Yeah, we are not friends. we do not talk about this. We do not see each other.
We will see each other when we're all going to each other's funerals.
Exactly.
We will never speak of this. This didn't happen. Like, yep, that is right. That is exactly what you should say.
Yeah.
Put an end to this. Andrew Robinson. Do you love Deliverance? If you say no, I'm coming off of this podcast.
I am. Demons made that threat enough times that I don't care anymore. Okay. That's an empty threat, sir. Sorry. Because.
See you in June.
I am not that much of a fan of this film.
Motherfucker. You're right, Andrew. I will see you in June.
You're a piece of shit, Andrew
Rose. I want to almost blame this on preconception because, like Douglas, I had never seen this film before he's asked us to talk about it. And for some reason, I guess I'm going to blame Archer for this. I kind of just imagined Burt Reynolds in Deliverance. This is like the kickingest, assingest, killbilliest movie we're ever going to see. And then it turns out to be this movie, which kind of reminds me a lot of Sam Peckinpah's Straw Dogs, which I adore. And I adore that movie, unlike this one, because of the way that it builds up its own character and builds to that eventual end. In this film, it feels so tiny of a story that it feels too simple for me to get behind it properly. Because yes, I understand the plot points themselves and how they move from A to B, but when certain things are over, it's like the piggy scene, which you guys talk about. It's an intense moment. It's a moment where you're just like, you can't move your eyes from the screen that you're watching this movie on. But once it's over, once all of that scene is over, it almost, you almost get past it way too quickly. And I think it's mainly, I know that there's a whole lot of other things going on in that moment. There's the debate of what they are going to do at this point. But my brain is still wrapped around, but that just happened. And I, unlike the movie, I'm not ready to walk past that moment yet. And it didn't work for me like that. Even when you get to the cliff scene where he's going up on the cliff, it just like the piggy scene, it's an invested moment in which I'm with John Voight, I'm with these guys. But once it's over, I'm not ready to go past it just yet. And the movie just like barrels to the next point. I mean, I'd also like to mention about my own preconceptions of how I know Burt Reynolds to be, because I mean, I've seen Smokey and the Bandit, I've seen The Longest Yard, I've seen stupid ass Gator. Thank you, Arch. this Burt Reynolds, it feels like someone purposefully tried to make him a less Burt Reynolds. by the way that they treat his character. And all of these things, it feels like I am just fighting against this movie as opposed to me being flat out and saying, guys, this movie is bad. Cause that's not what I'm saying here. I'm just saying that for me, it just, I feel like it just didn't work for me. It feels like a movie that maybe, you know, a year from now I'll revisit it knowing what I know now, and I'll agree with you guys then. I'll be with you. I'll be 100% there.
You'll never agree with me. I don't want you to agree with me in anything.
Andrew, I'd like to say two things to you.
You're a moron.
Three things to you. But first, I want to at least address your Burt Reynolds issue. And I just wanted to say that it's clear to me. I don't know what Damian feels. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the whole world feels. I don't know what Burt feels. But it's clear to me that this movie for Burt was akin to Eternal Sunshine for Jim Carrey. This was Burt Reynolds saying, all right, hold up.
Maybe I act like a person.
Exactly. I'm going to try and be in a great movie and do at least an average job. Mm-hmm. And clearly, you know, he did more than average. Yeah. But also, I want to address your other issues, which I'm very disappointed in you for. I understand the desire to linger on those strong moments. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I understand it. But you have to remember that what this movie is doing, it's being realistic. It's not barreling through the moments. Both of these moments in reality are quick moments. It's not as if, you know, it was what I thought it was going to be, which is, okay, you're captured. We are going to keep you like POWs for months, and then one day maybe while you're dying of thirst and really almost on the verge of starvation, you're about to escape somehow like Christian Bale.
John Rambo right? comes
yeah,
through
exactly,
the door.
Right? So it's not a movie like that. All that it is John Voight and Ned Beatty, you might say foolishly, come ashore and see folks and say, you know what? I think these folks are good people, and they turn out to be, you know, to have made the wrong decision. And that decision, you know, gets them in some very muddy waters, but luckily for them, they've got backup. And the backup comes, saves the day, or at least not quite saves the day, but adds that spark so that, you know, everybody is able to say, okay, let's extricate ourselves out of the situation. And that lasts however long it lasts. And while you and I might feel like, you know, we'd love to lengthen that moment, because I'm probably sure you're coming from the point of view that really not much has happened up to this point. That's not mine, but I'm sure that's why you probably feel like you want to be in the moment longer. But once that happens, once it's time, once they've essentially gotten past it, there's no going back. There's no reminiscing. I mean, definitely Ned Beatty doesn't want it going around town. That's exactly what he said. And nobody really wants to think about this and go to sleep and have nightmares, though they might. But, you know, and it's the same thing when he's on the cliff. He has to make he has to focus for an instant and let go and let the arrow fly. Otherwise, the other guy is going to kill him, right? So that again is a 5-second moment in reality. And I honestly think they probably elongated it a little bit more. But yes, these are the tense moments, but they're short for a reason, because they actually are short, and there's no getting around that. And I think that is to the credit of this movie, because a lot of movies would have done what you wanted to do and just stuck in that time, maybe, you know, brought in some slow motion, had some nice visual effects, and it may have worked. It may have it may have made it a little bit more exciting, so to speak. It may have made you look at the screen and salivate because you love all of these visuals. But that's not this type of movie. This movie is just, it's telling the story. It's getting you into the situation. You have your high, you have your low, And then you move on, and you, this movie is really not about the incident. This movie is about the decision that you make and living with it. If you notice, there's a lot of time that the movie spends a lot of time not on the incidents themselves, but actually even more time on when they get back to Antri, the town that they're going to, and they, Burt Reynolds is in the hospital, and the other two, Ned Beatty and John Voight, are I guess bunking in some sort of lodge, and it spends a lot of time with them, you know, trying to figure out what to say to the police, how to say it, who said something wrong, are they going to get into trouble, is this something that, did they do the right thing? And that's really what this movie is about. This movie is about living with the choices that you've made. And
I understand that. That makes sense to me. But at the same point, you say that the movie is about living with these choices that they've made. But how can you understand the full gravity of those choices if you never understand, if you never actually linger in that moment, you never actually understand how horrible the moment is, if you don't even consider what just happened, as opposed to, all right, we're moving on to getting further down the river, or we're moving on to figuring out how to twist the story so that people don't look further up the river.
Boy, Andrew, I have to disagree with you on that point, because when I watched that movie, I was acutely aware of how horrible those situations were when we were in them. So I didn't need to linger longer to know how bad it was.
I think Damien's just not talking to me anymore.
Andrew Robinson, I don't want to to swear any more than is necessary on this podcast. Because this is a family show, I think. But I am struggling to come up with how you could be more wrong. And I can't, because your brain is a mystery to everyone, including yourself. Andrew Robinson, I don't know if we should announce spoilers or whatever, but the thing that happens, the thing that this movie pivots on.
No, I think we're scene. Honestly, I think we're being a little bit too vague for this discussion. Andrew, we need to just announce spoilers and go right ahead.
No, I think I can do it without spoiling anything. So the piggy situation happens and the movie pivots, right? These guys are on a river. There is only one way that this river runs. When something that drastic happens, there is only one thing you want to do. Four men are not going to sit there and linger and wonder, all right, what? No. Your only instinct is to pack your shit and leave. And that is exactly what they did. Then something else happens, right, that leaves them in an even worse position. And they make the only decision they think they can make. John Voight climbs a cliff. Something bad happens again. And then the original instinct takes over once again, because you've now run out of options. You have one option: to leave this place as quickly as possible. That is the only thing. That is the paramount thing that you have to do. You have a friend that is dying that you need to take out of the river. He needs medical attention. You've done some crazy shit further up the river. None of that matters. All that is important is that we come off of this river, and that is exactly what the movie did. It spent the first 40 minutes showing you that this was just some recreational thing they were going to spend their time. That is why for a long time you saw them on the river and they were explaining how to, you know, row the boat and, you know, whatever, and it was all peace and fun. And then they split off, and then crazy shit happens, and then the movie gets very serious. And they want to get all these events out of the way as quickly as possible, because no one wants to be in this situation for even a second longer. And that's what the movie did. So I don't know what kind of lingering time Andrew wanted them to spend. Because you know what happens when four men make a bad decision? You sit down and you go, it was a stupid decision. Yes, it was a stupid decision. We probably shouldn't do this again. You're probably right. you know, if everything were better, instead of getting the hell out of the situation, that is what you wanted. I'm glad you don't make movies, because this is mad. Andrew Robinson, you're so wrong. It is infuriating. Right? What is seriously? So I understand that you thought you were going to get an action movie, but there is no action movie that would have been better than this movie that you got. Right? The movie is a snapshot of time. It took place over 3 days. They got on the river. Then night came after the crazy shit happened. John Voight climbed the thing, and then they rode down the river for another day. And that is it. And then the movie ended, and the guys who survived looked at each other and went, don't even talk to me again. Don't look at me. We're not friends. This didn't happen. And the only way you go from that, from the initial point to that point, is if, because they're only, the only thing that was important to these guys, the only thing that could have been important is for them to get out of this situation. And that is what they did. The movie didn't spend time. Alright, so a movie that did the opposite of this. The Grey. Right? Liam Neeson and his friends crash landed in the middle of nowhere. That movie spent so much time trying to explain to us, the viewers, that they're in a bad situation. Even after half of the people is dead, people are still spending time talking to each other. Saying, oh, these wolves are the most dangerous wolves of all time. Guys, the first time the plane crashed and wolves ate somebody, that was the last time people should have spoke to each other. That is it. Guys, we need to pick a point and run as quickly in that direction as possible. And try to stay alive. That was the. I don't know what. Why are you waiting?
I think I'm understanding more and more why Damien didn't like Lost now.
Huh? Why are you wasting time with all of this? None of that is important. They stuck to what was important in this movie at all times. We need to get off this river ASAP. Right? That is what they did. And that is why this movie is great. They didn't waste time dreaming up madness to satiate lunatics like Andrew Robinson. They said, this is the story. These things happened, then this happened, and now we're done. And that is great. And that is why this movie is great. There's no filler. We go from and point to point, and then it's done.
And I think we can end
and
that
the music
there.
Is awesome. So awesome.
I did love that banjo scene so much.
Oh, God. I love this movie.
I'll say this again.
I don't want to hear
it. I'm not saying I don't like this movie. I'm saying
exactly
I don't like it as much as Damien and Douglas.
That is exactly what you... There is no middle ground. You either love Deliverance like every other man on earth, or you're Andrew Robinson. And you hate the movie.
It's question time. On the last podcast, I was asking people, like, if there was one movie, one film that you would want to be able to go into your local theater and watch again, what would it be? And the internet responded. I got two responses, from Melly Clay as well as from Kashiki Harrison, who both asked for Christopher Nolan's Inception. Jess at LN _ Entertainment brought up Out of Africa. Has anyone here seen Out of Africa? I've seen it.
No, but Damon? It didn't look that fun. That's Meryl Streep in Africa, right?
Yep, with Robert Redford. I actually like that movie a lot.
I think so. I don't remember.
At Artistic Magpie said Aladdin. I remember seeing Aladdin in the theater.
Wait, which one? The Disney Aladdin or...
Is there a non-Disney Aladdin?
There's a non-Disney Aladdin movie?
No.
I don't know any non-Disney Aladdin.
Never mind.
Wait, what are you thinking? Mm-hmm. What are you thinking? No, you have
come
to
on, Damien.
Nope.
Come on.
Damien.
Alright, Lawrence of Arabia.
Oh, Damien. Oh, that one's special.
Oh, my goodness. Sure, I've seen no, I'm an idiot. Turns out I'm a moron. Never mind.
Oh, yes, you are. Yeah. Oh, man. Daniel Cox wanted to see Ghost in the Shell in the theater. Wow, I would never have thought of that movie as a theater movie for some reason. I think I watched it like 20 times when I first saw it back in high school.
I could go back and watch Lion King again. I saw Lion King in theaters. I saw the first Jurassic Park in theaters.
Did you go and see it when it was out in 3D?
No.
No.
Because, I have Lion King on Blu-ray, and so I don't need it in 3D. That is okay. I have the perfect version of Lion King already. Stop wasting my time, Disney.
Andrew Johnson from over at Film Geek Radio brought up The Fountain, which I guess I had to bring up because I love The Fountain.
Yeah, Fountain is pretty good. Douglas shakes his head. Douglas is doing to us what I was doing to you not 5 minutes ago.
Just ignoring completely.
These morons.
At _ Kim Randall said Titanic, which I'm like, really?
Why
like,
in God's name that... would I...
Actually, to tell you the truth, I actually really like Titanic. Since I saw it recently, that movie's actually really good.
My sisters brought me to Titanic twice at Carib. Both times I fell asleep.
When it was originally brought out, right?
Yeah. Both times I fell asleep watching. I didn't watch all of Titanic.
How
for
old
like
were
years.
You?
12, maybe? 11,
that's
12?
The correct response at that age. That's the response I had at that age.
Turns out, watching it now, same thing happened, because that movie's boring.
Yep. I like that movie.
I don't care, it's still boring.
And
it
Matt
won
Brown
Best
from...
Picture, which is horseshit.
Oh, yeah, I'll call horseshit on the best picture part, but...
That and Crash must be the two egregious.
We argue every year about Oscars bullshit. Let's not do it anymore. Let's just ignore it.
Andrew, if it is a movie that I can point to and go, at least it was a great movie. Yeah, they didn't pick my favorite movie, but at least they picked a great movie that I can point to years later and go, they get it right. It's not the best, but at least it was a Titanic and Crash. It shouldn't even be on a list anywhere for best anything. Maybe Titanic for CG, because it was the greatest thing we've ever seen. But nothing. Storytelling, guys? Come on. Come on. Come
on. And Matt Brown from the Mammo podcast, he brought up Return of the Jedi.
Oh, Damien. Star Wars.
Damien, I know you're a Star Wars fan here. You're the Star Wars fan of the podcast.
Guys, I hope.
Speaking of Star Wars,
did any of you guys
see
the Patton Oswalt?
Ford? Oh no, I actually have that saved, but I haven't watched it. You're talking about the Penguin, right?
No.
The thing that he did for Parks and Rec, where he basically gave an 8-minute filibuster speech where he linked Star Wars to Marvel and pitched his own Star Wars 7 for J.J. Abrams, and it is a crazed. Geek-filled, too much science fiction idea that I love because it's that stupidly funny.
Andrew, send me that link now.
It's all over the internet.
But
and I saw the Harrison.
The Harrison Ford thing.
I
on
thought
Jimmy
that
Kimmel.
It was on the internet.
Oh,
I
okay.
Didn't watch
have you watched it, Andrew? Have you watched the Harrison Ford?
Yes, I
thing
did.
On Jimmy Kimmel?
Yes,
that
I
was
did.
Kinda funny.
where Chewie showed up.
That was my wife. And then he walks up.
He's not wearing any pants. There, point made.
Actually, I wonder if that's a thing, because we've seen it with Matt Damon. We've seen it with Harrison Ford. I wonder if that's a thing for Jimmy Kimmel. I know he does a lot of bits, but if like the whole walking out bit is, you know, a thing.
I would say, but I don't actually watch Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah, I don't watch it
at all. I generally only see when people like say, look at this thing which happened, and they put the clip on the internet for me. I'm like, a minute, I can do that.
Yeah.
Wow. You guys.
I don't watch late night stuff. I tried to keep up with Conan when he first started his thing, and I did very well when I wasn't working. When I started working, it all fell to shit. And so I haven't watched...
The only late night thing I watch is The Daily Show, and that's because they put up the full episodes the day after on the website.
Yep, they do.
And I love Daily Show. If everyone else would do that, then I'd have no problems keeping up with all of them. Like, I really want to... The only one that I care about at this point is Jimmy Fallon, because
he's the one that is having the most fun with... You know, late night thing, you know what I'm saying about that? I really like Jimmy Fallon. Let me put that out there. I think he's a really funny, like, genuinely funny guy. Not, you know, there are a lot of people who can be funny because they read the words and have the timing down. I think this guy is just, he's just naturally funny, but yet it's difficult for him sometimes to read the words and get it right. And so when he first did that, when he first got the late night show, I was really happy, and I probably watched it for like a week or no longer than that. I watched it for like 3 or 4 weeks on and off, and I never got into it. And even I said, you know what, it takes people time to get into the gist or the flow of the thing, and I tried to pick it up a little later, maybe 6 months to a year or something, and it's still, I never got it, and it just seems sad to me that now NBC is going to go with him for the Tonight Show, and not only go with him, but bring the Tonight Show to New York over Conan O'Brien, who they just throw out like trash.
Well, they made
They're like,
choice.
Conan, you have to come to LA now.
Yeah, they made that choice, and a lot of us would say it was a poor choice, but... They have to stick with that choice. It's not like they could call Conan back and say, stop doing, come back, Conan. We finally fired him. Because there's no way he'd have agreed
to
that.
Just bringing up more, like, little clips of late night TV on the internet. Did any of you guys see the news bit in Saturday Night Live? Not from, I think, this week, from the week before, where they had on Peter Dinklage and he was doing drunk Dinklage during the news.
No.
It's so funny. It's so good. I should send you that link.
Yeah, what were we talking? I don't even, how did we
get we were talking about Star Wars questions.
We were doing questions, and I'm done. Well, I'm not really done with that. I have to tell them what
you
question
have to
is.
But I believe that myself and Damien need to be able to answer last week's question. So Damien, what is your answer to last week's question?
I mean, we did
Damien said torque.
A long time ago. I said torque.
Fair enough.
Honestly,
I want Lord of the Rings, the extended version. I don't want to watch that in theaters.
Like, seriously, it would be all my favorite movies. But part of my before I die, I'm planning to build a home theater. Like, like a full, bells and whistles and all of that shit. Because that is how movies are supposed to be watched, at least in my view, as on a big screen.
Will you have like a 35 millimeter projector as well?
Well, it won't be 35 millimeter because by then technology would have taken. But whatever.
But I mean, at that point.
At the very least, for like the older films, which no one ever converted.
For the older films that no one ever converted, maybe, but.
No.
Remember,
Andrew, what Damon is going to do for those movies that haven't been converted, he's going to create his own company. No, he's going to create his own company, employ people who do that,
and get them to convert
it for him.
You see, that is part of the reason I'm kind of glad I don't have that kind of money, because I don't think I talk to people. Right? Every time I put on a suit, I should be running shit and making people's life miserable. But not yet.
However, Andrew, I believe you had a question for the internet.
So, I was thinking, the film that's out now is Pain and Gain, which is with Mark Wahlberg and The Rock and such and such and Anthony Mackie. And I was thinking about Mark Wahlberg, and I don't know if you guys have thought about it at all, but I've kind of come around on him. I've made a decision that I kind of like him, and I want to see movies that he's going to be in now.
Sorry,
not saying that I've actually not that I've actually watched something like Broken City or anything, but I do think that he kind of has he seems to have, you can seem to pick out the movies where he's doing it because he thinks that movie is good, and the movie where he's doing it because someone offered him a paycheck. And I think there's a good enough ratio of them happening now that I want to say I like him, right? And I want to ask people about who are some of the actors or actresses out there that you've turned around on, and for whatever reason, who you've gone from hating to loving just because of a film or a series of films or whatever.
Trace Buster, oh god. Fun times. Have you ever seen that?
Yes, of course. I have.
Okay,
of course.
So you're shaking your head like you disapprove.
No, I'm shaking my head like I disapprove generally of Mark Wahlberg, not of that movie.
He's found it down, loaded up and trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch old Bandit run. Keep your foot hard on the pedal, some never mind them brakes. Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana, and we'll bring it back no matter what it takes. Eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch old Bandit run.
Small scenes, the fragments of the mirror. You remember those?
Vaguely.
What do you remember?
There's a room. And I sit there alone. Always alone.
What else?
Grave.
Where?
I don't know. It's an open grave, and I stand by the gravestone looking down into it. It's my grave.
But how do you know?
I know.
But is there a name on the gravestone?
No. No, it's new and clean and waiting.
What else?
This part is dream, I think. There's a tower and a bell. In the garden below. It seems to be in Spain. It's in Spain.
So this week, tying in with Douglas finally watching Deliverance, he wanted us to talk about five films which we've been meaning to watch for a really, really long time. And before we get into the actual list, from the way Douglas talked about this, it seemed very similar to something we did a long time ago, on episode 22, where we did our list of shame, which are movies we're ashamed to admit we've never seen. And I emailed you guys this list like a week ago, and I just wanted to like bring it up and kind of like update everyone as to how we're doing on our list of shame.
Sure.
So Damien, do you have the list in front of you, or?
No.
Alright, so.
But the only one on the list that I haven't watched, I remember, because you guys showed me the list not too long ago. The only one that I haven't watched is Passion of the Christ, and that's because, fuck that movie. I don't know what I was thinking when I put that on the list.
Really? You're not even going to give it a glance to be I tried?
At this point. Like, why on earth? Right, so my list was Passion of the Christ was the first one, which at no point, I'm never ever going to. Like, guys, I love Jim Caviezel, but not enough to put myself through watching that shit. The Counterfeiters, I've seen. LA Confidential, of course. The Pianist and North by Northwest, I've seen all of those movies. So I've seen all of the movies on that list that I have any intention of actually seeing. What? Can someone explain to me why I put Passion of the Christ on that?
Because you feel guilty.
No, hold on. well, you see, I just want to point out the biggest difference between the list that we're about to talk about and the list we're talking about now, which is that this list was of movies we felt were classics and great films that we should watch.
But just haven't.
And haven't, mm-hmm. as opposed to this one, which is more like just films we've always wanted to watch and haven't. So that's possibly why you put something like Passion of the Christ on there.
Thanks. That helps a little bit. Like, I still don't understand what kind of Damien thought that was a good idea. What?
A Mel Gibson directed film? What?
Not him. It is just.
Mel Gibson directed Braveheart. Come on. Yeah. That's an awesome movie.
The Crucifixion of Jesus, I've never seen anything like that before.
So in my list of shame, I had picked Vertigo, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, anything by Akira Kurosawa, and Schindler's List. And I have struck everything off that list, exempting One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And knowing this from last week when we were talking, I'm like, I should watch that so that next week I can say I've seen it, mm-hmm. and then and Netflix doesn't have it anymore. And I just forgot.
Right. Well, my list is actually an embarrassing list. My list includes 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Which you've seen.
Miller's Crossing.
Which you've seen.
It's A Wonderful Life.
Which you've also seen.
Bonnie and Clyde. Which you haven't seen. And Jabberwocky. Mm-hmm. Now, my ratio is very similar to Andrew's. Mm-hmm. Very similar in the sense that it's the total opposite. I have only watched one of those movies, which is Bonnie and Clyde. Mm-hmm. And even worse, more embarrassingly, the only reason I watched that was because I believe it was Andrew made us watch it for one of our podcasts.
Yep.
So
we just watched it. Like, we just watched it that night. It wasn't for the podcast.
It wasn't for the podcast. Andrew just made me watch it. Okay. Because I'm sure that I would not have just watched that.
Let me help you out. Miller's Crossing and It's a Wonderful Life are must-see. Just ignore everything.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. No, yeah. Jabberwocky is Terry G. I have to watch it.
Yeah, but you don't have to.
And you could pop in 2001 because you actually have it on disc on your shelf.
Or you could throw that disc in the garbage where it belongs. It's what you could do. Probably what you should do.
Okay.
But on to our lists. And
if only someone would put up my list.
And I'll let Douglas kick it off.
You will?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I will kick off my list. And let's see, at about number 5, I would put, and this is coming from my older list, which still exists, and still haven't watched, is 2001, A Space Odyssey. What I was looking for in this list was essentially, you know, movies that either I own or have access to. So even things like movies on Netflix, where I look at it and I say, I really want to watch that, but I watch it tomorrow, and it just never happens.
Tomorrow never comes.
Yeah, tomorrow never comes.
Or dies. Tomorrow never dies.
Shut up. that movie I have watched.
Classics like Tomorrow Never Dies.
So some days when I log into Netflix and I see what my number on my Netflix queue, I'm like, I should really start watching these movies as opposed to just adding them to this list that I never watched.
I need to figure out how to use that. I don't know how to use the queue.
It just says add to queue, Doug.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
And then it adds it to a long-ass queue.
What I do is I just try and keep the ones that I want to watch in my recently watched and just use that.
How can you be that lazy, Doug? That's not even too valuable. That is like more work to be lazy. Oh my god.
Anyways, I'll continue this. I'll take it away. My number 5, because I guess I completely misunderstood Douglas's concept. I just went with movies that I probably should have watched by now, or movies that, like you hint, I really want to watch, but every time I think about them, I just go, maybe another day. And part of this list was created of me going, those are really long ass movies, which is why I'm putting them off. So my number 5 is Gone with the Wind. People cannot stop talking about this movie. It just keeps coming up because it's one of those classics which everyone loves. But when I see that it's over 3 hours, I go, I'll just watch some TV shows now. I'll watch Magnolia again now. this movie, yeah, I need to watch it now.
Amen. So, I watch movies a lot different from you guys. Douglas watches whatever is in his path, and if he has to look too long, it is never going to happen. Andrew, no one understands Andrew. I have no idea. Andrew just, whatever. I make giant lists of pretty much everything in my life whenever I want to do anything. And then, one by one, I go through. And that is the same thing with movies. When I thought that I hadn't seen enough movies, I said, alright, I need a list of the top 100 movies. Any list, it didn't matter. And I chose IMDb. And then I watched all of those movies. And whenever... So, when I decided that Lars von Trier was my new favorite director of all time, I said, alright, I've only seen these two, and these two are fantastic. I need to watch all of these movies. And then I sat down and I saw pretty much all of the movies. And that is typically how I watch movies. Which is why a lot of the times when I come on the podcast, I have to think very hard about, like, the regular movies that I saw that weren't on, like, a list of shit that I was watching. And so, the list of movies that I've come up with now are... They're not regular movies. They're not movies that a lot of people have heard about, sadly. And...
I've heard of one of them.
That is terrific. And that is because, especially while I was listening to Film Spotting, those guys kind of went far and wide with the movies that they talked about, and ended up watching a lot of really weird movies, but then some of the movies were pretty fantastic. And so the list that I've come up with, if you haven't heard of these movies, it's not your fault. Because I'm a crazy person. The first movie that I really want to see, and I'm probably going to start working on this list sometime soon, is Camera Buff by Kieslowski. At least I think that's how you pronounce his last name. It is the guy what gave us Double Life of Veronique and Red... Ignore Double Life of Veronique.
Should we really? How many times have you watched it?
I don't want to talk about that. Red, Blue, and White, which is the Colors trilogy. Those movies are absolutely tremendous. And this is one of his more revered movies. One of his early movies. Where it's this guy who is so in love with filmmaking that it is starting to ruin his life. The scene that everyone talks about is he gets in this argument with his wife, and while the wife is complaining, he does the thing with his fingers, like he's framing the shot of her with his fingers because he's like, how would this look on camera? And then she turns around and sees him do it and gets like a million times more angry. And my relationship with the director is 3-1. But it's really 4-0. I hate Double Life of Running. I hate it. But I've seen it so many times that there's no point in me saying that I don't like the movie. Because I'm an idiot. And so, Camera Buff is the first one. Like, this is the one of all the things on the list. This is the one that I want to see the most. That's need to sit down and watch it. Douglas Robinson.
Alright, so again, taking from my previous list, it's Miller's Crossing. One of the I remember I looked at the Coen Brothers movie list last week. Excuse me, last week when we were recording, and surprisingly there are very few of their movies that I have not seen. This, unfortunately, is one of them. Arguably, some say their best. I'm not saying it is.
I'm trying to come up with an argument against that.
And you're taking your time. So, yeah. Therefore, it's at least debatable, right? No, no. So, yeah, this is on my list. Speaking of True Grit, have you seen... I want to call it Ripped, but the RIPD trailer.
Oh, it's so bad.
I want to watch it so much, though.
Me too.
Oh, God.
It's Men in Black with the guy from True Grit.
Yep.
And Ryan Reynolds.
Wait, can you say that again? But say it slower, because that is fantastic. Men in Black.
And
with
he, has
Rosa Cogburn.
He has the same voice too. Same crazy type of voice. Oh my goodness.
Douglas, if you call that man and you don't demand that he do that voice, don't shoot the movie. That is, just don't waste anybody's time.
Listen, I don't want us to talk too long on this because it's depressing how much I want to watch this movie. Oh, Andrew, what's your number four?
Oh, I guess my number four is the only movie on this list which doesn't quite qualify to my "the movie's too long, I haven't watched it yet" reason. And it's Frank Capra's Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. Because I've been meaning to watch this film for a long time, ever since I saw It's a Wonderful Life, and I mean to keep going into more Frank Capra, because I like his style, and more, the more movies I see with Jimmy Stewart in it. I recently just saw, The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, and it's an actor who I get why everyone loves him. I adore what he's doing in his films, and I want to see what's going on with this film going to Washington, because I need more happy movies in my life, and I believe Frank Capra makes those kinds of movies, or so I've been led to believe.
Andrew, would you be jealous if I told you that I've watched that movie already?
I'd throw myself over a cliff.
Okay, well, I've watched that movie already.
Many, many times.
It was actually on, like, TV one day, randomly, and I was like, what's this? Let me watch it.
Remember when you used to just watch it on TV?
I know! Oh, yeah, God. That's a long time ago.
Doesn't even feel like a thing at this point. Second movie, In the Name of the Father, by Jim Sheridan. Daniel Day-Lewis, or Abe Lincoln, whatever you want to call him. This is the performance that made everybody sit up and go, this guy might be the greatest actor of all time. And now he's proven that once and for all. He's now the best. He's the Asafa. Oh, I'm sorry. He's the Usain Bolt of acting. He's the best. I think this movie won Best Picture in 1993. It's absolutely fantastic. So I hear. I've never seen it. And I probably should. Have any of you seen it?
No, I haven't.
I have it in my Netflix queue. Yeah.
Oh, it's on Netflix?
So yeah, it will never be seen. Right.
my number three movie, I'm going to put in... It's really one of those movies I'm pretty sure is only going to be pretty decent. But...
I still really want to see it,
and it's because he's one of those actors, Andrew, that I never used to pay attention to, and over the years have grown to love, and that's Brad Pitt in Moneyball. I really want to watch that movie.
It's more than pretty. It's more than really good. It's a really good movie.
All right. But I really want to watch that movie, and I've had it again for a long time. Still haven't watched it.
It's not trouble.
I love
current,
Moneyball
have you seen
so
it?
Much.
I heard that that's bad.
Yeah. Right. So it's not that. It's
no. I know it's Moneyball.
No, I was talking about quality.
Oh, quality. Okay. No. Oh, you know what I have seen that was horrible, but I really wanted to watch it because Raimi directed it. No, is The Perfect Game. Kevin Costner.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen
that.
I remember that.
But it was not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Raimi really has disappointed. He's done nothing good except for he's done quite a bit good, but he's done the campy stuff, which includes all of his horrors. So you look back at the Evil Deads and the Drag Me to Hell, and then he's done Spider-Man, but that's about it. And even then, we don't talk about the last Spider-Man.
About the last movie he's made.
No. You notice I didn't even mention it. Okay. Uh-huh.
Hot, steamy garbage.
I like The Quick and Dead.
Oh, sorry. I apologize. I don't want to. But that is in the campy region.
It is. He always is better whenever he's being campy.
Yeah. And to tell you the truth, as far as I'm concerned, the first Spider-Man is borderline. There's a lot of camp in that.
Spider-Man 2 is fantastic.
No, it is. Oh, and so is Spider-Man 1. But
I need to go back and watch Spider-Man 1. Right? Remind myself what comic book movies were like before Chris Nolan took over the shit.
So, yes, Andrew.
So my number three is a film, once again, that will make me jump over a cliff because Douglas actually has seen it. It's clocks over 3 hours long. It stars Robert De Niro. Mm. It happens to be from the 70s, and it's The Deer Hunter.
Hmm. You've never watched this movie?
I've never seen it. The closest I've come to seeing it is I've seen a clip somewhere where Chris Walken has a gun to its head, and I guess he's playing like Russian roulette or something.
Yeah.
Because he kind of clicks and then it doesn't go, and, you know, that's all I know about the movie.
So good. That's a pretty darn good movie, Andrew. Darn tootin. Okay.
Darn tootin. Are we going there? We're going darn tootin.
We just saw Deliverance.
You know what? I'm not even going to try. So you know what? Someone has to pick The Deer Hunter for me to watch it next.
But both me and David have seen it already.
Yeah, so you're screwed. I've seen it more than once. All right, my next movie.
But it's 3 hours long.
Stop that.
3 glorious hours, Andrew.
My next movie is A Moment of Innocence. Now, this is an Iranian movie. It is supposedly one of the Iranian movies. It came out, as I said, 1996. Apparently, this is like one of their great movies. Like when the two people in the world talk about great Iranian cinema, this is one of the movies that comes up. And I remember hearing about this a long time ago and saying, I should watch that. And I remember when A Separation came out, I went, all right, if they can do this, then yeah. I'm pretty sure.
That movie didn't make my list, but it's one of these.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure if this is what, you know, their films are like now, years and years ago, they're probably doing fantastic work. And so I've been wanting to watch this movie for a long time. Always put it off. Just skip right past it in XMC. I'm not watching this. That's not good. I really should watch this movie. I want to watch it. Because if I watch it and it's fantastic, then there's some other movies that it would force me to watch. And that's what I want.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a gateway drug. And I understand that. Because the thing you talk about with directors is the same thing that I do. I've slowed down my role a little bit because I've gotten into the TV thing. I don't know. Well, no, I know exactly what they did, but anyway. My number two movie, is a little bit debatable. It could be a movie. It could also be a miniseries. It goes by the name of Carlos and it stars Choco. I really want to watch that movie. And again, I had it for a little while. Then I got rid of it. Now it's on Netflix and I just keep meaning to watch it. I actually pass over it on Netflix every time I'm logged in. And I say, tomorrow.
So, while you're at it, Douglas, just find and watch Che. Because that's better.
What?
No. I am going to disagree with that statement right here.
I have watched
this.
Neither. And I also disagree.
I am putting a stop to this. Carlos is about it is just better. Let's just be very careful. It deals with a far more serious subject matter. These are both real life people. I prefer the subject matter of Carlos because everybody talks about Che and nothing in Che dissuades anything you know about him. But Carlos is, I mean, there's things about that I don't know how you spoil on 901.
So what are you saying, that I'm going to come out of this miniseries thinking that Carlos was a freedom fighter? Is that what you're saying?
You're going to come out of this agreeing with a lot more of the things he did than you probably should have.
Wow. God, this is probably one of the most reviled terrorists known to man. Right. You know?
Let me just say, I came out of it going, I can see, Like, I don't agree, but I understand.
All right, so Andrew. Yeah.
So no. My number two is a film that I expect for the two of you to have seen by now. It stars one of Douglas's favorite actors. It has a bike scene that everyone talks about. Twerk. What? No, it's not Torque. I've seen Torque. I love Torque. It's in a prison, and it's from the 60s. It's The Great Escape.
Actually, you know, I've never seen that movie before.
What?
No, I haven't.
Dude.
I haven't.
Oh, Christ. I hate you guys.
It's 3 hours long.
But this is, again, I'm in the Steve McQueen phase.
Oh.
I just watched Papillon. I've seen Bullet. I've seen Thomas Crown Affair. I think have those are the three that I've seen.
Yet?
What's that?
Have you watched Magnificent
Seven? I haven't, but again, I own it. It's on its way. It's like, you know, it's a progression.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm going to get there. I have Le Mans. I haven't watched it, but I will. You know, I'm going to get there.
So Damien,
that's a pretty good pick. Farewell My Concubine is a revered Japanese movie from 1993. Wow.
All 90s here, huh?
There I would the guy's last name is Chen, which is pretty racist.
You're an asshole.
But it is one of those. It is one of those Japanese movies where the guy is taking advantage of a situation and it leads to terrible things happening. And apparently the acting and directing in this is superb. And I would love to see it. But I keep watching shit instead of watching these great movies. Because I, like Douglas, am an idiot. Hey, Two Broke Girls. I'll watch all of this instead of sitting down. I like how, what I tell myself is, if I start watching this now, and I have to stop.
Yes, that's a big argument. Yeah,
which is
yeah.
dumb.
I have that argument with myself as well.
When I hit play, it says, would you like to resume from?
but then, you know, but
second,
then, I know, but here what goes through my mind. I know I can do this, right? I have both XBMC and Netflix. Right. Both of these things do the same thing. Yeah. Actually, Amazon as well. Mm-hmm. But you say to yourself, okay, I know I can do this, but do I really want to stop in the middle and then start again in the middle? Mm-hmm. No, I want to
the
go
answer
through
is
it
no.
fully.
No.
You want to, exactly. So
that is the lie you tell yourself.
Exactly,
because
yeah.
there's after you've seen a movie, if you see it even halfway in the movie, right? So if one of your favorite movies you see it going on television, half of the movie is done.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go, I'm not going to finish watching this movie.
Yeah.
I have
but
to watch
the difference,
the whole
you're
movie.
Talking about a movie that you've seen before. I'm talking about a movie you're watching for the first time.
Right, but Andrew, nothing is changing. No, Andrew, I understand your thought process. I'm just letting you know that we're wrong for thinking that. I use this excuse constantly. But this
there
is
was a
dumb
there was
excuse.
A time when both of us, or sorry, all three of us, we used to watch things on HBO.
Exactly.
We used to not know what it was and be like, I'll watch
and at
the
second
end of
the
half
movie,
of this
like,
film.
Yeah, this is pretty good, yeah. or this is absolute garbage. Right?
I was thinking about that the other day. I'm like, I remember a time where I used to look forward to Saturday night to find
yeah.
out what was going to be new on HBO.
Yeah.
New on HBO on Cinemax, guys. Saturday night.
And then you could choose, you know, you're like HBO, Cinemax, Showtime, Stars, who has the better movie?
And then once DVDs killed VCRs and you could have something digitally on your computer, you went, I see where I might never have to watch TV again.
No,
and then
I didn't get that for a long time.
Once, no, because you still had DVDs.
Yeah.
Right, and
yeah.
TV was still. But then once Jamaica got the internet, the real version
yeah,
of the internet.
The flow version of
right.
the internet.
And then you went, alright, and I can rip this shit onto. You just put a DVD into the drive and you stare at it twice and it. Computer spits it back out there. You go, I'm never watching TV again, am I? No, it's never happening. All
right,
good.
Right. Anyway, Andrew, I like your last pick, your pick of Steve McQueen's The Great Escape. And I think it's very apt because it plays well into my number one pick. My number one pick is also Steve McQueen related. Just not that Steve McQueen. So, as far as I'm concerned, anybody who has the balls to take on the name of somebody so iconic has to have something to back it up. And guess what? Apparently this guy does. This guy's now done two major films. He's done Shame and he's done Hunger. I unfortunately have seen neither of those. I have full access via Netflix for both of them.
If you'd like,
is Shame on Netflix?
I think it is. I think I scrolled past it the other day.
I think Hunger was the last DVD I ever bought. Because I said, I don't care if it's on Blu-ray. I said, like an idiot.
Yeah.
I don't care.
But that is my number one pick for my list tonight. Because out of all of these movies, I think, just both of them, not even just, I can't even pick one. Both of those are my most embarrassing admissions in terms of movies that I've really wanted to watch. I actually can watch at the touch of a button at my fingertips, and yet still haven't watched. Why? Because I want to watch shit like Veronica Mars or Hemlock Grove. Andrew, have you watched any of that show?
I still haven't started it. I think I might watch a couple episodes tomorrow.
I'm done. I watched it first. I gave it 4 episodes, Andrew. It's bullshit. I can't deal with it anymore. And this is coming from a guy who is going to watch this latest season of True Blood. So, fuck you, Netflix, for making me want to watch this.
Did you watch the last season of True Blood? I don't think I did.
I just want everybody to know up front that I was right.
Yeah.
About True Blood.
Yes, you were.
Yes, you were. Yes, you were.
I called it 4 seasons ago. 4. Count them. 1, 2, 3, 4. It took you jerks 4 years to finally realize what
you know. What's
sad
though? After I've realized it, I'm still watching.
Yeah, no, because you have to live with this. You have to hope that they can fix it.
Yeah,
it's too late now because you're all in.
I'm invested.
Yeah, morals. Yeah, good luck with that.
Anyway, Andrew, can you beat Steve McQueen?
I don't know if I can beat him for you, but I can say that my number one film happens to star Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh my, Lawrence of Arabia?
No, but what? Obi-Wan isn't in Lawrence of Arabia, is he? I don't remember.
Andrew,
I think he is.
Are you serious? Sir Alec Guinness, please come back again.
Well, it is a film by David Lean. I have seen Lawrence of Arabia and I have seen Dr.
Wait, hold on, you've seen it?
I've seen Lawrence of Arabia. I'm trying to remember where Alec Guinness is in that movie.
Andrew, Sir Alec Guinness is that movie.
Can I go to work now? Guys, it's after 9. Just say
if there is a Lawrence in that movie, that's Sir Alec Guinness. Right.
No, it's not. Lawrence is Peter O'Toole.
I know, I'm just joking. But he's
I'm sorry. All right, guys.
Just tell me a bit.
The Bridge on the River Kwai. Once again,
you
the movie's 3 hours long. But I should have watched it by now. Really? Not good?
Prince Faisal. Who is Prince Faisal? I actually haven't watched Lawrence of Arabia.
What?
So for me to know this is sad. But Alec Guinness plays Prince Faisal.
And you're on IMDb, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so that's how you know it.
No. I've known it.
That is what we were laughing at.
Yeah, no, I went to IMDb because I've never watched it, so I wanted to know the character name to tell you, but of course I knew Alec Guinness is in that movie.
Isn't he on the poster?
Well, no,
well,
not actually, that poster, not this one, but...
Alright.
Because I know watching that movie, the two big names were Peter O'Toole and Omar Sharif. Those were the two guys who I remember the most.
You know,
I'm going to go with
Peter.
To
yeah, there you go.
Peter Almodovar. 2002. Apparently, this is his best movie.
Well, it's really Pedro. I just said Peter, in case you didn't want to use it, so that nobody would know what you're talking about.
Whatever. Peter, Pedro, whatever. Uh-huh. Probably Mexican.
What's wrong?
Talk to her. 2002. I hear that it is best.
Oh my goodness!
And I didn't like.
Yeah, he didn't like Skin I mean, or whatever. Alibin, yeah,
because it was.
But he's a great director, though. Generally, even that movie,
right? That is the part that I enjoy. He clearly can direct. He knows how to. He just can't tell story to save his goddamn life. Based on the one movie.
Oh wait, you haven't seen any more?
I don't think so.
No man, he's good.
I know. I hear, and so I want to watch the rest of his things. So yeah, that's it.
Okay.
There's some others, the sporting life, that I want to watch, and some other shit. But it's after 9. I have to go to work.
All right.
So let's wrap this shit up. Let's wrap it up.
So that was a podcast. It's another week. Damien is running away. We don't know what to do with ourselves. But those are the films that we've been meaning to watch forever. Thanks for listening. You can hear the podcast over at G-Man Reviews. I'm on Twitter at G-Man Reviews. Douglas is at DJ. I lost his name. Damien is at Damien_White.
Yeah.
You can hear the podcast through iTunes, home, where you can subscribe, you can rate, you can review. You can also hear it through the Stitcher Radio Network if you're into that. Thanks
and,
for listening.
And dear all, please don't be into that.
Yeah. Okay. I see. No.
At least, I mean, I don't like iTunes, but iTunes is better. Come on, guys.
No.
No? You don't think so?
Although they did update their podcast. They kind of pushed podcasting out of the regular iTunes app.
For I've heard everyone complain about iOS podcast app. Like,
no, the iTunes app is still bad.
Okay.
It is. But it's
not
as bad.
None of us have Apple phones.
I used to have one, but I haven't had it for years
now. You're talking about iTunes as the desktop program.
Yeah.
That is a flaming pile of garbage.
No, it's
about
it's
900
fair.
Megabytes.
It's, listen, it's better than what I see when I go onto my Stitcher page. I don't like Stitcher at all.
Stitcher is really bad.
Stitcher is bad.
Real bad.
Those guys, I don't know what they thought of. I mean, technically the service
it
makes
works.
Sense.
You can
and
play podcast.
Exactly, right? And I have discovered one or two things.
And they love Adam Carolla for
Jesus.
Some strange reason. But
anyway, guess what, guys? We're done. Good night. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
Now I'll be glad to have you home long before daylight. Sun is your worst enemy. Thank God it's dark tonight. Let's do something cheap and superficial. Let's do something that we might regret.